Welcome to the Martin Bailey Photography Podcast. Welcome to this week's show. This is episode 4. Before I get started today, I want to say a big thank you to William Cushman, who created the music that just played us in. Bill lives in Nashville, Tennessee, with his wife and two boys. He studied piano at the University of Florida and now records his piano pieces as a hobby. All of his compositions are totally improvisational and recorded completely at one sitting. They're all based upon different experiences that you can read about in Bill's blog at ghostnotes.blogspot.com. You can also download and listen to his tracks, and all the works are available royalty-free for commercial or non-commercial use at no cost. Thanks again, Bill, for bringing that extra touch to my podcast. So, today I'm going to talk about a photographic technique called panning. As I explain what this is, take a look at the first example photo, which is number 198. This is a photo of a swan taking flight. Remember, you can view the first of today's photos on your iPod, and if you're listening with iTunes, you can see this and the additional examples by clicking through the thumbnail versions on the bottom left-hand corner of your screen, and then clicking the thumbnail itself to view the image full size. If the shots look a bit grainy, try clicking the Maximize button on the View Panel toolbar to reduce the image to actual size. You can view the photos on my website at martinbaileyphotography.com too. This week I've added a link to the podcast page to the toolbar at the top of the page so that you can get to it from anywhere in the gallery. As the last few podcasts have contained multiple photographs, it's probably easier to jump to the podcast page and then find episode 4 in the podcast list, then click on the thumbnails to view the shots. If you want to jump from the top page to see the first shot today, enter 198 into the black box under the podcast section and then click the orange button. Anyway, whichever way you are looking at the image, you'll see that the first shot is a swan, kind of running across the water, gathering speed as it takes flight. You can see from the sharply focused head and neck that I succeeded with the pan. Also note the unrecognizable blurred lighter areas on the background, and these are actually ducks, so you can probably understand how long I panned with this swan. To begin with, here's a brief explanation of this technique. Panning is when you track a moving object with your camera, most often horizontally, and shoot at a slow enough speed to give the background a blurred effect. Shots made with this technique will give the impression of speed and or movement. The tricky part is to keep the subject or part of the subject crisply sharp against the blurred moving background. As with anything, practice makes perfect, and this is one of those techniques that really does take a lot of practice to get a hold of. Planning your practice session will help. First, think where you might find some suitable subjects. I chose a public park with a track for cyclists for my practice session, but you might choose a road where cars are driving past or something similar. Take a look at the second photo for today of a boy on a bicycle. This is number 148. It doesn't really matter what kind of shot you use, but you'll just want to try to find somewhere where objects will be moving at a steady speed in a predictable direction. It also helps to have enough open space to be able to track your subject for at least a few seconds before and after taking the shot. I'll explain why you need some space after taking the shot later. For this technique, I find that a mid-range telephoto or zoom lens works well, as it will exaggerate the blur more than a wide-angle lens would. If you're comfortable with using your camera in manual mode, that would be good, but you probably will find it easier to use aperture priority and then set a small enough aperture to get a shutter speed of 1/10th or 1/15th of a second. Maybe up to 1/25th of a second will be fine. If you are more accustomed to using shutter priority, then that's fine too. Just set your shutter speed to under 1/25th or 1/15th of a second and let your camera select the aperture. It will definitely help if you have image stabilizer here too, but it's not really necessary. If you don't have it, you maybe want to aim more towards the 1/25th of a second shutter speed. This does go directly against the rule of thumb that I introduced in episode 1 and 2, where you use the focal length of the lens to decide the slowest shutter speed. But this is one of those times when we really want to break the rules. Note that if you're taking shots of very fast moving objects, such as racing cars or racing cyclists, you will not need such a slow shutter speed to blur the background. If you are in very bright conditions, to get a slower shutter speed, you can also try selecting a slower or a slow ISO, such as ISO 50 if your digital SLR supports this, or if you're using film, maybe use an ISO 50 film. You can also use a neutral density filter to get a slow enough shutter speed to blur the background. Even in dimmer conditions, you can do this in addition to or instead of reducing the aperture to maintain a shallower depth of field and therefore add to the blur effect of the background. If we have too shallow a depth of field, though, this can reduce the panning effect in the final shot. Once again, practice makes perfect. Your stance is very important when panning. Stand with your legs slightly apart, about the same width as your shoulders, and tuck your elbows into your sides for additional camera stability. You should be facing the point at which you want your subject to be when you take the final shot. Pay attention to the background here too. Although it will, if you succeed, be nicely blurred, it will not be totally insignificant. Lots of brightly coloured objects can work well, but say one large brightly coloured object or highly contrasting object in the background could detract from the main subject. The most important thing about panning shots is that you must keep tracking your subject in the lens when you take the shot. If you were to simply focus on a point where you want the subject to be and wait for them to come along, then trip the shutter, you'll end up with a nice shot of a beautifully crisp, sharp, focused background, and your subject will be blurred as it moves through the shot. If the distance to your subject is going to be pretty much constant as you track them, then autofocus is going to work fine. But if they are going to be moving towards you or away from you at all, it might be useful to put your camera into manual mode and focus on the point where you intend to make the final shot in advance. You can also use the servo focusing mode of your camera if it has it. If you do use servo focusing, then your camera will focus on the object for you as it moves closer or further away. Of course, successfully using this type of focusing will depend on the size of the object in the frame, the accuracy of the focusing system, and also keeping the subject in the very center of the frame in most cases. This may not be what you want to do, though, so choosing a different focusing mode might be more appropriate. So let's get down to actually taking the shot. You will twist smoothly from the waist in the same direction as your subject. Get your subject in the frame from as early as possible and move with them, twisting at the waist as the subject moves across the scene. This motion needs to be fluid and smooth, and hence having your feet at least as wide as your shoulders will give you a good steady base to move. As the subject approaches the optimal point, I suggest you start shooting in continuous mode. If you are using film, take at least 3 shots. If you don't mind wasting a few more, 5 would be better. If you're using digital, depending on how many shots you can take in one burst, you might want to shoot a little bit earlier or shoot through the shot a little longer. After all, it's not really going to cost you any more money to take the additional shots. It is important, though, to keep shooting through the point at which you really want the shot, as just the action of easing off the shutter release button can cause unwanted movement. It's also very important to keep moving as your subject moves past the optimal point, even after you've taken your shots. If you intend to stop as soon as the shutter is released, you'll subconsciously start slowing down the movement while shooting, and you'll end up getting out of sync with your subject, and you may well lose the shot altogether. This is not an easy technique, so give yourself the best chance of pulling it off by getting into the habit of following through. If you play golf, you'll probably be able to relate to this as it's similar to the golf swing. Beginners often can't understand the importance of following through on a golf swing after hitting the ball. After all, you've already hit it, right? But that really isn't the case. You will probably subconsciously change your movement, your motion, in anticipation of stopping after the event. As we are dealing with slow shutter speeds, you could also try using your tripod with the locking nuts loosened enough to enable you to pan the camera. But I personally find this difficult and don't do it. As I think the main reason is you have to move your head around a different pivotal center. You know, you're working to the movement of the camera as opposed to the twist from the waist. So I generally tend not to do this. I did try it once when shooting red crown cranes in Hokkaido here in Japan, but soon gave up in preference of hand-holding for the shots. Another option is a monopod. I imagine this will work much better than a tripod, as you can move it with your body much more easily, but I've not actually tried it. I'd be interested to hear from anyone that does use a tripod or a monopod to do these type of panning shots. We could share the information with the other listeners. Before we wind up for today, as we are creating works of art here, let's talk a little bit about composition. Where you position the subject within the frame will greatly affect the feel of your shot. You can do this when shooting or after the event by cropping the shot, but needless to say, if you crop, you're reducing the image size. So it goes without saying that really getting this right while shooting is the better option. I personally don't usually like to put my subject right in the center of the shot, but in my photo of the swan, I wanted to include the water being thrown up behind the swan from its feet as it ran across the water, and also give the bird some space to move into. So it was pretty much in the center of the shot. In the second example of the boy on the bicycle, he's moving out of the frame. Here I really wanted to give him the impression of moving away, speeding away, so I put him on the left-hand side of the frame, moving out of the shot. The last example photo for today is 270, which is a sea eagle taken in a place called Shiritoko in Hokkaido. This site, incidentally, has just been registered as a UNESCO World Heritage Site. It's a very beautiful area of Japan. I've been there a few times and hope to go back many more times. In this shot, the bird is on the right-hand side of the frame, giving it space to fly into. It really is up to you, though, where you position the subject, but you know, just use your artistic license and make it more interesting than just putting it smack in the middle of the shot without any real reason. Finally, more so than in most photography, you'll find that look plays a big part in getting a successful shot when using the panning technique. In the case of the swan shot that we looked at earlier, I was actually shooting in the other direction on the banks of a river when I heard the sound of the swan flapping its wings and paddling the water coming towards me from the other direction. I knew that I had a relatively small aperture set, so I would get a slow shutter speed, but I had literally just a second or two to turn, steady my feet as much as I could, and get three shots as the swan passed me. The first and the last shot of the three were total write-offs. They were just totally blurred. But I was lucky to find the center shot, the one that you see here, was pretty much perfect. The head is slightly soft. It's not as sharply focused as I would liked, but I still think it's a successful shot, and I hope you think so too. Having said that, I would say that probably 90% of this shot was luck and 10% technique. I'm sure that I could not have got this shot at all, though, had I not spent any time practicing the technique previously with the boy on the bicycle shot. I've said it, I think, three times during this podcast, but practice makes perfect. So that wraps it up for today. I always enjoy listening to your comments. A lot of people have emailed me. Some people have also posted comments on the forum. I would like to suggest that if you do have any opinions, feedback, any of the shots from my gallery that you'd like me to discuss in more detail, please do write me from the forum or by using the contact form, which you can find linked from the podcast page or from the contact us section on the top page of my website. It really is always very nice to hear from you. So that's it for this podcast. I'll speak to you again next week. Thank you and bye-bye.
This has been a Martin Bailey Photography Podcast.